It's day two of the annual conference of the Center for Ocean Law and Policy, and people are gathered in Seward for the big event. They're hearing about changes in the Arctic Ocean. Ben Stanton from member station KDLL is in Seward and has this report.
To start the day, David Karen from the Law of the Sea Institute in Berkeley, California, critiqued an academic paper talking about Arctic issues. Karen agrees that fisheries are affected.
She's in part here focusing about, that there's a great deal of uncertainty on what's happening, and how the movement that we've been seeing in other parts of the world, whether that will continue into the Arctic region, how will that occur?
Another presenter talked about polar bears. Nigel Banks from the University of Calgary says regulations in the U.S. and Canada and other agreements have attempted to protect polar bears. Banks says there's only so much that can be done with those agreements. In 1973, the governments of Canada, Denmark, Norway, the USSR, and the United States made the agreement on the conservation of polar bears. Later, Greenland was added. Banks related the agreement to habitat and ecosystem protection. The agreement acknowledges the special responsibilities of Arctic states for Arctic ecosystems.
And that's something that Arctic states are very fond of espousing. I think both nationally, the Arctic Waters Pollution Prevention Act in Canada, and internationally. A special role, almost the language of trusteeship for this area. It's almost as if, you know, we're not satisfied with our rights under the Law of the Sea Agreement. We want, you know, the world community to recognize that we've got additional rights and responsibilities.
To conclude, Banks says the Arctic is the most vulnerable to climate change.
I'm not sure that I need to answer it. Has international law failed the polar bear? I think the only dispute might be, well, do we blame international law or do we blame other political processes and lack of political commitment?
Banks says it's not an either-or, but both those contributors, and hopes international law and lawyers consider the responsibilities. Commander James McMahon from the United States Coast Guard explained what they're concerned about dealing with the changes themselves.
We heard of how it is presenting new opportunities and challenges for all of us. Now, the Coast Guard does not know exactly why this is happening, and we do not know how quickly this change will occur. But what we do know is that there is now open water where there used to be ice. And as a result, we have certain statutory obligations and commitments that we have to meet.
This afternoon, David Balton from the U.S. State Department gave a policy perspective on Arctic fishing. Several Native Alaskans gave their perspective on the Arctic and development as well. In Seward, I'm Ben Stanton.